We have three texts this morning. We'll be reading from the New International Version. If you need a Bible, there are Bibles in the back, and you can take it with you if you don't have one at home. They're there for you to use and to enjoy. So the first reading is from our Exodus series in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, simply says, "You shall not steal." The second reading is from Ephesians 4, 22 through 28. Ephesians 4, 22 through 28. "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need." And the final reading is from John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. These are the words of Jesus. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. I'm going to invite Dave to come up, and I'll introduce him, and then I'm going to pray for you as well, Dave. Before I introduce you, Dave, I want to share a little two statistics. So Joseph Hanna and I all did our master's in theology or divinity at Regent College. And there's this class that you take there to help you discern whether or not to be a pastor. And in the class, I very distinctly remember the professor, Ross Hastings, saying, 90% of pastors will quit before they retire, either from burnout or from so much conflict that they just can't take it anymore. So 90% of you likely are going to quit before you even start, or before you retire. So that's one statistic I want to give you. And then I want to tell you about Dave. Dave is one of the 10%. He is a retired pastor who has preached the Word of God faithfully for over 43 years. Is that correct, Dave?
Pretty close.
Yeah. And he most recently was at 20 years at Comox Church with his wife, Barb. Barb, wave so people can see who you are as well. And they ministered the word of the Lord faithfully for over 40 years. And Dave works now part-time as a sectional pastor, which basically means he's a pastor to pastors. So we're really honored to have him in our midst. And what a treat to have a retired minister preach the word of God for us today. So I'm going to pray for you. Would you extend your hand out as a token of blessing over Dave? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is alive and speaks to us in its truth and its beauty. So would you, Holy Spirit, be upon Dave as he preaches? Would you make our hearts open and receptive to the word of God, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Lydia. And I know that God's going to use you, and you're going to be one of the 10% as well. So there you go. And how many are thankful for your pastors and leaders in this church? You, as a congregation, have been greatly blessed. And Barb and I just want to honor you as a church and your leadership, your board, your pastors. And it's been great over the last year or so getting to know Pastor Joseph and Hannah. And my encouragement to you is to pray for them as they are in this time of just refreshment and coming home, that they can have fresh wind in their sails, and that God is going to use them greatly, along with your new team members that are coming in. It's exciting just to see. Even we were here in the fall, and I think the number of kids that are sitting on the front row have probably tripled since then. And I want to say, keep pouring into your next generation, because so much of the future is there, and so much of us, those of us who either have gray hair or no hair, we need to be your greatest cheerleaders. So it's about just seeing God just grow a community together, and it's amazing. So keep going forward. And I was just thinking back in those early days when we first started pastoring, we made a trip to Vancouver Island, my wife and I think it was before we had kids, and we were just camping, and we actually visited the Parkside Pentecostal Church, Parksville. Parkside is in Saskatchewan, Parksville. And on that particular day that we came to this church, which used to be the old building downtown, they put on a salmon barbecue. And it was great for those of us from the prairies. Having that salmon barbecue was absolutely amazing. So I don't know if any of you, maybe Gene was there. I don't know, but isn't it awesome? 90 years old tomorrow. So happy birthday, Gene. Excited for you. It's fantastic. I also just want to just acknowledge the fact that we became aware of some of the loss and grief and tragedy that your congregation has experienced, and some of the families that have been going through some deep trials. I appreciated, Pastor Lydia, what you shared too about choosing to worship even when it's difficult, because there's, you know, what choice do we have? There, that's where the life is. And so just continue to follow the Lord and bring that sacrifice of praise to the Lord in that way. And so we are, if you're just joining us today, am I echoing a little bit here? Would it be better if I grab that microphone? Are we okay? That's okay, it's good. All right, okay. If you're just joining this morning, your church has been in a series over the last number of weeks on going through the Ten Commandments. And when Pastor Joseph contacted me back a while ago, he asked, gave me a choice and Sundays that I might be available. And it just so happened that today was the day where it landed on the subject of stealing. Last Sunday, Pastor Lydia had the subject of adultery. So I don't know which one would be the easier one to go through, but it is what it is. And the cool thing is that because we live in this digital age now, we get the opportunity to kind of listen in and eavesdrop a little bit onto what you have been teaching. And so over the last few weeks, I've had a chance to listen in and hear some of your sermons on this subject, the Ten Commandments. And let me say, it's absolutely been amazing, inspiring. I did a trip up to Port Hardy where I filled in up there for 3 Sundays. And so I got to listen in probably about 4 of the sermons to kind of not only fill in time, but also to learn and grow with you. And so I sort of feel like I'm just kind of slipping in, and it's been very good for me to be able to respond to what God's been saying to me about so much of this. I loved Pastor Lydia in her first sermon. And let me just, if you've missed any of this, or maybe this is your first Sunday, go on their website and just listen into the past sermons on the subject of the Ten Commandments. One of the things that Lydia shared was how that the Ten Commandments, God has given them to us not so much, it's not about duty, but rather it's about delight. And it's a delight to follow the Lord. How many would say, I would agree with that this morning, would say amen? It's a delight to be able to follow and stay in step with the Lord's commands. They're for our good. Pastor Joseph spent 3 Sundays, and I listened to all 3 sermons, on idolatry. And he talked about how that the idols in our lives, in so many ways, they hurt us, they hurt others, they hurt God. And that's not what God has for us. God has so much for us. And I think it's even fitting this morning to, as we focus on the subject of stealing, to think about just even our idols, the idols in our life. They are net takers and not givers. Would you agree with that? They do nothing but take from us. And those are the things that God wants us to be free from this morning. And so what we're going to do today as we look at this eighth commandment, you shall not steal, we're going to focus on some breaking free of some mindsets, things that I believe can help us not only avoid this commandment or not to actually commit to this commandment of not stealing, but also to be able to have the freedom to be able to live free lives, to live free of these idols, to live free of those strongholds and those things that would actually come against us and really want to just rob from us. And so this commandment not to steal is for our good. And so let me just share with you, and I think I want to focus on Scripture, but I also want to be practical this morning as well. How many know that the Scripture is both life-giving and it's theological? It's funny Pastor Lydia shared at the beginning about graduating from getting their theological degrees from Regent and all that. Like, oh man, I don't know. It's like it's a little intimidating coming behind you guys. But it is good, and I'm thankful to the Lord for the 43 years of ministry that we've had. And so much of, for me, it's been just taking the simple word of God and try to apply it to everyday living. And keep it simple, stupid, right? That's been my philosophy for most of my life. And Wally and Julie Johnson, just way back there, they were part of our congregation back in Saskatchewan. And we got to serve together. We actually got to lead worship together. And they're part of this church when they're out visiting here on the island. But it's good. We get to live by the word of God, both theologically but also practically. And it's amazing. Let me just share with you a few current realities about stealing, okay? First of all, just a thought here. The whole command of stealing actually affirms the right to ownership. Sometimes we have this idea that when you're a follower of Christ that we don't own anything and we should just give it all away and all that kind of thing. And there is a point to that. But the reality is God actually, through the fact that he's given us this command, he actually affirms the right to ownership. You have a right to own things. All right? What this commandment also says, though, is that the attempt to get something for nothing is condemned. So it's got two sides to it. Most of us today likely have been stolen from. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but most of us at some point, maybe you were a child, or maybe you're a parent with young kids, and you see the evidence of it. A little child steals the other child's toy. How do we feel when we've been stolen from? We don't feel very good, do we? We feel violated. We get angry. Years ago, we had our vehicle broken into. We had our kayak on the roof. We took our kayak off and went onto the lake with the kayak. Came back, only to know that there were some opportunistic thieves who were just waiting for us to vacate our vehicle. The next thing you know, when we come back, our vehicle's been broken into. My wife's purse has been stolen, taken. Other things in our vehicle had been pilfered through, and things of value were taken. We feel violated. We feel angry. We feel that whole level of being trustworthy. Most of us trust people, right? We want to be able to do that. But all of a sudden, there's this fear and paranoia. I know people that won't go anywhere or do anything because they're afraid that something might happen. And that in itself becomes this stronghold. It's not a good place to be. And so most of us have been stolen from at some point or another. And we take great measures to protect ourselves from thieves, from being, we have locks on, it's a huge industry. We put locks on our doors. We have security systems. We have alarms. Some of you right now, probably your home is completely alarmed while you're at church. We were recently at a service one time. Well, all of a sudden, we started hearing all these bells and alarms going off. Someone's car outside the church was being broken into while the service was on. I bet you some of you right now have your alarm system set in your house and on your car. We put passwords on our phones, on our computers, our bank accounts, our credit cards. We shred our documents. Why do we do stuff like that? It's because we are concerned about our security. We're concerned about, we know that there's bad people out there that want to steal and want to take from us. It's interesting, the whole issue of identity theft is becoming a big deal. I came across a statistic just this week where, interesting, that in the last 9 years, victims of identity theft in Canada has grown by over 400% just in the last 9 years. And so businesses, people spend all kinds of money. It's a huge industry. People are making money to protect you and your security. It's a big deal. Here's another thought to think about when we think about the realities of stealing. We all pay for the cost of stealing, whether you like it or not. Every time you buy something in the store, every time you shop online, you are paying for the cost of fraud, of shoplifting, of employee theft. It's estimated in the U.S., and you could just extrapolate the numbers out into Canada as well, that among U.S. retailers, approximately $50 billion a year is lost due to shoplifting, fraud, things like that, employee theft. They estimate that one-third of that $50 million or billion, is lost by employees themselves, employees. Employees who are stealing from their employers. The very people that are paying their wages, putting food on their tables. Those people are stealing from the people that actually are giving them a life and paying their wages. And so it's a huge cost. Some of you probably today are business people in this church. And you know that a certain amount of your profits are going to be taken from you because of dishonest people. And it impacts your bottom line. And then there's the subtle ways that people steal. Maybe some of us have found ourselves inadvertently maybe cutting corners or maybe not reporting some income on our tax return. Or maybe it's that wasting time at work, you know, when the boss isn't looking. I recently was talking with a business owner who was having to have a very awkward conversation with one of his employees. And he told me, he had this one employee who was constantly taking these extended bathroom breaks. Possibly, more likely, social media breaks. And it was literally impacting this guy's bottom line. Because he was paying this man to work only to see him taking 1 to 2 to 3 30-minute bathroom breaks and was having to have an awkward conversation about this. Or what about that time when you are at the grocery store and the girl at the till gives you some change only to realize that, you know what, she's given me too much change. And there is that tendency to think, it's no big deal. No one will ever know. It's so subtle way. Or maybe it's copyright materials. Or maybe it's overcharging for something, you know? This is the time of year where you have a lot of people coming to your door and they're offering you services. How come the guy next door got a better deal than you did? You find out later that you got overcharged and he didn't. And so there's all these subtle ways that people steal. Let me ask you this morning, again, you don't need to raise your hands, but can you think of some way that you or someone that you love has been impacted by stealing? I think we all have. Can you think of, and this is where it gets a little bit practical, where we need to do a little bit of our own self-examination, and we'll touch on this a little bit later. But perhaps think of ways where you have committed, maybe even subtly. And I've had to ask myself this question. Subtly have committed theft of some kind. You say, "Oh, Pastor, I'm not a thief." No, I'm not saying you're a thief. I'm not looking to a bunch of thieves here this morning. But there are those subtle things that we do sometimes where we gain something through an element of dishonest appropriation. And so from the scripture today that has been read, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15 says, "And you shall not steal." One of the Ten Commandments. The reality is, when you look at that, let's face it, there is no wiggle room. There's no fudging or reason for taking something that doesn't belong to us. And that's the challenge with this. It doesn't say, you shall not steal, but there are some exceptions. That's the part where scripture, and we're looking for loopholes, we're looking for wiggle room. And we can easily get into that stronghold where we get drawn back into those idols of greed or fear or covetousness or insecurities that want to drag us back into something that God wants us to be free from this morning. And so today I want to talk about just breaking free. Breaking free of these mindsets, these idols, these strongholds, so that we can be, the title of the message today is Free Not to Steal. I took out the word "you shall not steal," but we can be literally free not to steal. How many know that Jesus came to set his people free? And the Bible says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And so that's the kind of the angle that I'd like to approach this prohibition that God has given to us. And so the Old Testament, and we could spend a lot of time giving the background and all that kind of stuff. But I want to jump into the new because time is an essence here today. If you have your Bibles, look again with me. It was read earlier, Ephesians chapter 4. And I love the way in verse 22, Ephesians 4, how the Apostle Paul includes stealing as part of our former way of life. And how that he calls us to put off the old self and to put on the new self that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. For God's people, there has to be a difference. Look what he says in verse 22. He says, "And you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires How many know the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked? Your heart is constantly grasping at things that God says, that's just going to hurt you if you keep going down that path. He says, you've put off the old self to be made new in the attitude of your minds. When I was preparing this, I was really drawn to those words, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so with the new self, with the new mind, Paul is equally clear. See, in the Old Testament, you shall not steal. And there's no wiggle room. You come to verse 28 here in Ephesians 4 in the New Testament. Paul said, now you have this new life. You are a new person. He says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. Interesting that in many of the ancient customs, and even today for that matter, around Ephesus, the culture around Ephesus was, stealing was just a very common practice. It's how people kind of survived. They lived by the Robin Hood syndrome. You steal from the rich, and they somehow attached a virtue to it, which included, if you're going to steal something, at least share the proceeds that you have from your theft with the poor. The Robin Hood syndrome. And that was kind of their practice. And some might even try to think, they try to justify their stealing today. Like, well, you know, I'm stealing, but I'm just going to share it with my friends. The scripture says, in Paul's word, you put off the old, put on the new, that's going to basically bring this mindset of stealing to an end. And so I want to share with you three ways, just quickly here this morning, ways that we can be free, that we can actually live in freedom, have a mindset that sets us free. Number one, we're free to trust God completely. And I want to describe this as breaking free from taking to trusting. The reason that a lot of people steal is because they have this sense of fear that I may need this someday. And here's this opportunity. I have this opportunity to get something for nothing. Or I may not have enough. It's one of the root causes of fear. Living free means never forgetting God's gracious provision for us. How many are thankful today that we serve a God who loves us, who cares for his children, and he loves to provide for us? We don't have to live from the proceeds of stealing or theft or subtle theft. Psalm 23 and verse 1. We know the psalm. Probably the most famous psalm in scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack everything. Is that what it says? No. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want or lack. We have given our lives to a good shepherd. And because of that, we are free. He invites us to trust him completely. Philippians 4 says, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. We get to trust him. We get to trust God with all of the little details of our lives. Let me give you a little example. And, you know, I love it when the scripture, when you're preparing a message, and all of a sudden during the week, the Lord is giving you little nudges and whispers. And you're being reminded about, you're being drawn to things that you're preparing and thinking about and studying and meditating on. I was in the McDonald's lineup the other day, and one of the benefits of becoming, I don't know, I think it's age 60 or something like that, you move from this thing where you're paying full price for coffee to now getting, you get the privilege of having the senior coffee rate. How many people love going to McDonald's just for the senior price that they have for coffee? And there's all, they know how to market. They got us. They got us as kids with the, you know, with the, their kids' meals and all that kind of stuff. And now they got the old folks with cheap coffee. And I'm going through the lineup. I told a friend I was going to buy a coffee for him. I wasn't looking for coffee for myself at that time of the day. And I'm in the lineup, and I asked for a large coffee. I was going to ask for a large senior's coffee. And then I realized the whisper of the Holy Spirit said, Dave, the person you're buying for is not a senior. Well, you're trying, but I'm a senior, and I'm the one buying. But he's not. And I'm having this little tension with the Lord. And I'm realizing I'm trying to like, it's not like I can go on the ferry and, you know, give him my gold card and then expect that everyone else in my car is going to get the same privilege, right? Anyway, so here I am having this little discussion with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit's whispering to me and tapping me on my shoulder. And, you know, maybe I'm getting a little bit legalistic here. I don't know what, but it's just how the Lord spoke to me. If you want to do it, go ahead. But the Lord was saying to me, Dave, like, that's stealing. And now maybe I'll send a letter to the corporate office and ask them, you know, like, so how does this work here? But this, for me, this was the point. This was my little discussion. And maybe it's because I was preparing a sermon on stealing this week that the Holy Spirit, whispered to me. But here's the bigger thing. This is where the freedom came in. I felt the Lord saying to me, Dave, can't you trust me for the 49 cents to pay full price? Can't you trust me for that little itty-bitty difference to pay full price? And I thought, yeah, why not? How many times have we held on to that little extra change we got from the grocery store, thinking, oh man, I've got it made. I can retire now on that extra toonie that I got from the, you know. Can't we trust God to have a conscience that's free? Can't we trust God that our future is in his hands and that he can afford 49 cents to buy a McDonald's coffee? Just something to think about anyway. And so there is going to be this tension. And I think these guys in Ephesus probably had to deal with it. Because the old nature would just, you don't even give it a second thought, right? There's all kinds of people. It's just second nature to, you know, I'm not going to pick on one trade, but people that take a little cash under the table. Can't we trust God to pay that extra tax that maybe we need to pay because we are choosing to work and receive our wages and our income in an honest way? As God's people, for many, it's just second nature to, if you can get something for nothing, if you can get it a little bit under the table, if you can be a little sneaky in how you do your books. God's people were called to be different. And I'll guarantee this, as a follower of Jesus, you're going to get way more whispers from the Holy Spirit on these subjects than the guy who's not. So if you're going to follow the Lord, expect the nudges and the whispers of the Holy Spirit. And they're not to condemn you. They're really, literally, to call you into a life of freedom and trust. I hope that makes sense this morning. And so we're free. Everyone say, we're free. We're free to trust God completely. The second area, we are free. And that is, we are free to give generously. And so we break free from taking to trusting. And now we break free from getting to giving. And so as we pick this verse up, we see a progression here in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, and he who has been stealing must steal no more, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So just track with me here. We're moving from getting to giving. Stealing, okay, we know that's not a good deal. That's not a good thing. Stealing is about getting. It's about getting in illegal ways. Working is, okay, we get that right. That's a good thing. Would you agree with that? To work is a good thing, all right? Working is also about getting, but some people can work in such a way that their whole life of work is only about getting. And that equally becomes this stronghold where I work to get more. When Paul here, he wants to take it farther. Almost, he wants you to basically go the pendulum to swing out the other way, where it's we work to give. We work to share. We work to bless. And I love this morning the gardener who came in with all of his extra zucchini and cucumbers. You know, I think that's an awesome thing to be able to do, to plant your gardens, not just for yourself, but to plant in such a way that you know you're going to have way more than you're going to need. Have enough to share with others. We can apply the same thing to our work and to our businesses. First of all, I want to say, it's a good thing to work. It's a good thing to earn a good wage. There's nothing wrong with asking God for a bonus. It's nothing wrong with asking God for perhaps even a better job down the road if you can. There's nothing wrong with learning and growing and educating yourself and going to Regent College and all that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with wanting to prosper in your life. But the Lord is saying prosperity and working and getting, the purpose behind it has to be more than just for yourself, but for the blessing of others. And you can see that principle lived out in Scripture in so many different ways. Those of you who are in business this morning, there's nothing wrong with asking God to prosper your business in such a way that your business not only provides for your needs, but literally one of the blessings of business people, many of them are actually providing employment and incomes for many, many families. And that's a good thing. Would you agree with that today? And so we need to pray for our business people, that God will just bless them, but also that we would have the mindset that that prosperity, that blessing is something that needs to be distributed for the needs of others where we possibly can. I loved what Randy Alcorn, how he writes. He says, God prospers me not simply to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. And I think that's a good thing. We say, oh God, I want my standard of living to be better. Yeah, good. But the principle of Scripture would be that also that our standard of giving would increase. And one of the ways we systematically do that is by honoring the Lord in our tithes and offerings. And you guys practice that here as a church, and it's a good thing because it helps us to break free from that mindset of, I've shared this over the 43 years of pastoring, that every time I bring that tithe of my income to the Lord, I am making a declaration that I get to live by faith and not by fear. You see, when we withhold our tithes, when we withhold our offerings, when we withhold our zucchinis, We're falling into that mindset that I might not have enough. If I give, I might not have enough. And so I want to encourage you this morning, like even starting with honoring the Lord with the first tithe, the first tenth of your income, that's a way to break free from that mindset of withholding and poverty, and I won't have enough, to a mindset of faith and trust. And you get on this path, this journey towards greater giving and generosity. And so, you know, my grandkids, my wife and myself, we took our grandkids to the Lion King the other night. I don't know if you guys have seen the new version of it. I had never saw the first version, so I thought this one was my first version. I thought it was awesome. That was fantastic. And one of the things that, and here I've got my phone in the movie, and I'm texting or writing down little one-liners that I thought was cool. And anyway, one of the things that Mufasa said to Simba, he said, "While others search for what they can take, a true king searches for what he can give." I thought, what a great, that's a good point for my sermon. Awesome. And you see, leaders, God's people, look for what they can give. God's people, I don't know if you know this, but when it comes to charitable giving in our nation, it's the church. I read an article just this week. I don't know how I got into it. When it comes to religion and Christian activities and churches, their percentage of giving is far exceeds the rest of the mainstream public. Because we sort of get this. Yeah. And my encouragement this morning is that we would get it even more. That the contrast of stealing and getting and working to get needs to progress to working so that we can bless, so that we can give more. And finally this morning, we're free to live abundantly. And I want to just close with, you see, most of our stealing and thievery that we get infected with, that came as a result of sin, that came into the world through sin. Even you think of murder, you know, was the taking, the stealing of another man's, of another person's life, with Cain and Abel, first murder. Jesus said, "The thief." I don't mean to yell at you guys. The thief, and who's the thief? Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. The most notorious thief of all is Satan himself. And our world is infected by his presence. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I have come that you might have an abundant life." Breaking free this morning, breaking free not to steal, begins with breaking free of this greatest thief and murderer of all. And that comes only through surrendering our lives to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. While I was in Port Hardy these last 3 weeks, my heart was aching by some of the things that I saw and conversations I had with a number of our First Nations people up in that community. I had the privilege of making a trip over to Alert Bay, and I stood on the site where a residential school was torn down about 3 or 4 years ago. And the story was that the people literally threw stones at the building as the building came down. So much brokenness, so much pain. As I lived in the center of the community in a kind of a room that they provided for me. On the back side of the building I was in was a shelter for men and women who are bound in addictions. And it's very open. You don't see stuff like that quite as open in beautiful places like Parksville. I know it's here. It's just we're a little more, we mask it better. And my spirit was angry inside as I could see some of the impacts of the thief. And generations of lives that have been stolen. And addictions and poverty that is so rampant. And I shared with the church up there, I said, one thing to say is that everybody has pain of some kind. So it's not just a First Nations thing. It's not just a residential school thing. Every culture, every people group across this planet has some kind of pain. Every family is experiencing some kind of theft. Maybe it's a marriage where a mom and dad, their love has, they've surrendered to the work of the enemy who's come to rob those little kids of a loving mom and dad. You see pain everywhere, and it's the work of the thief. But listening to some of these stories and hearing some of these people talk about their experiences and language being stolen, some of the children, they literally had needles put through their tongues so they would stop speaking their own language. What's wrong with someone's language? And the enemy uses people to do bad things. But I want to close with on my last Sunday night I was speaking, and at the end this First Nations guy comes up to me, and you know, I needed it because for 3 weeks all I saw was a mess. And this guy walks up to me at the end of the service, and he hung around. A lot of the First Nations people are very shy, and they don't want to come into your space. But this guy, he hung around, and he came up to me, and he said, Dave, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been sober for 26 months. He says, I was part of the residential school at Alert Bay. As a child, taken from my family. Did you know the Old Testament, one of the reasons for thou shalt not steal was to stop people from stealing people? Like slavery was against God's command. And it was actually, that command was actually put in place to stop kidnapping. Well, those residential schools, and whether it's even today, human trafficking, the sex trafficking, all that kind of stuff, is just another form of kidnapping. And he was taken from his family against his will as a little kid. But he said, God's been healing me. He said, since I've given my life to Jesus, he said, I'm learning to forgive those who wronged me. Because of Jesus, my life is becoming full again. And what's been taken from me, Jesus is replacing. Jesus is healing. Jesus is restoring. Lydia, you shared in your first sermon, I remember hearing it on that road to Port Hardy, you said, Jesus is our greatest treasure. And when Jesus becomes our greatest treasure, nothing else matters. When Jesus becomes our greatest treasure, he can heal the brokenhearted. He can heal, he can restore what's been taken from us. And so, some of you this morning, have been impacted by stealing in some way. And it may not be a possession, it may be something else. I want you to know that your life and your fullness and joy comes through surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. I think the worship team's coming back. I hope I might have gone too long. I don't know, but I just want to ask you this morning, to just consider some of the things we've shared today. Is there something that the Holy Spirit maybe has been putting his light onto? I want you just to say, Holy Spirit, I want to live completely free. I want to live in such a way that I can trust you with all of the details of my life. I want to trust you to heal my broken heart. I want to trust you for my daily provisions. Is there an area that perhaps I need to repent of? Maybe there's been some dishonest gain that you have experienced that you need to surrender to the Lord. Maybe there's some things you need to make right. If you read in the next, I think it's the next chapter two of Exodus, there's a whole section on restitution. I'll let you check that out yourself. Is there something that maybe you need to return? Is there a repayment that you need to make? This isn't to condemn. This is simply to invite you to respond to maybe what the Holy Spirit is saying to you personally this morning. Is my standard of giving keeping up with my standard of living? Some of you have been blessed beyond your expectation. Some of you are enjoying retirement benefits that you never thought you would ever experience. Not only do you have extra wealth, but you have extra time. Give it away. We're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And so thank you for allowing me to kind of share my heart today. And to I'm going to continue listening to this series. So I'm praying that God will keep my heart open as we go along. But anyway, team, bless you guys.